We'll feature the second half of Pastor Greg Laurie's interview with Louis in just a moment. Pastor Greg Laurie invites you to host Harvest America right in your home. Stream it live from Dallas right to your TV on October 5th. A great opportunity to invite someone over to hear the good news. And we have everything you need to make it a success, including the hosting necessities.
We call it the Harvest America Home Kit. And you know what? It's actually a lot of fun.
It's a great evening in a box.
Since we're doing this in Dallas, we thought we would embrace the cuisine of the area we're in. We're talking barbecue, people. Nobody does barbecue like Texas.
Here's what's included.
We send you your own Harvest America apron to cook barbecue with. It includes invitations, decorations, fun things from recipes to napkin holders.
The Harvest America Home Host Kit. And you'll find even more resources at harvestamerica.com.
You pick the place and we'll hook you up with all the supplies you're going
to
need.
Get involved. Go to harvestamerica.com. By the way, you can find a Harvest America host location near you online at harvestamerica.com. If there isn't one near you, here's your opportunity to host Harvest America yourself. It's not too late. Louis Zamperini was a real American hero. He survived more close calls than one could imagine. And today we'll see there was a reason God rescued him time after time. Pastor Greg resumes his conversation with Louis Zamperini as he talks about being adrift at sea for 47 days.
You were out on your life raft and you saw an aircraft approaching. You were hoping it might be a friendly aircraft, but it was Japanese and it started firing.
When I saw it far away, I knew it was a B-25. And so when it got closer and closer, we started taking our shirts off and waving our shirts, and the plane came down low, and I thought, boy, they're going to wave at us. We heard machine gun firing. And the bullets went, you know, between our legs, our armpits. So then we decided to jump in the water, next pass. But the pilot tail gunner didn't have the strength to get back in the raft. I had to boost him in. So then I got in the raft. When they made another pass, I would jump in the water with two sharks. Now, I was taught how to keep away from sharks or keep them away from me. The thing that works is a straight arm. Because their nose, they turn it up like that, you just hit them on the end of the nose and they take off. And their nose somehow is very sensitive. But they always come back and you do it again and again. Now, you talk about a real miracle.
Yeah.
The Japanese, when they finally picked us up, we were the object of attention until they pulled the raft ashore. Then they left us and they kept saying, "Nanda, Nanda," counting all these holes. And they looked us over for injuries, no injuries.
So after 46 days, you were made your way to the Marshall Islands. You were captured by the Japanese. And now they somehow find out that you are Louis Zamperini, the Olympic athlete. And Mutsuhiro Watanabe, am I pronouncing his name correctly, who was given the nickname The Bird. This was a very cruel, vicious man. Why did you name him The Bird?
Why didn't we? That was the name given him. Most of the guards, I couldn't repeat their names, but I don't know why they called him the bird, because maybe if he found out what a dirty word, he might be even meaner, so I don't know why they named him the bird. But he was vicious, he was a psychopath, and I believe he picked on me daily because of the propaganda broadcast that I refused to do, and I think they told him to keep on me every day, to make my life miserable so I'd accept, the hotel room and the restaurant and do my broadcast daily with Tokyo Rose.
Hello, you fighting orphans of the Pacific. How sick. This is after her weekend and back on the air strictly under you and
I. So I refused to do that, so I got punished daily.
Right.
Right up to the end of the war.
Right. In the book, you talk about what your food rations were like, sometimes consisting of nothing more than a ball of rice. And in the book, it says the food was infested with rat droppings, maggots, and so much sand and grit that Louis's teeth were soon pitted, chipped, and cracked. The men nicknamed the rations All Dumpo. So this How did you survive on food like that?
I don't know how anybody survived. Well, we lost about, in one winter we lost 80 men. They got weak and had to go to work. Came back and went to lay down and said, wake me up when the chow's ready, and kick them on the foot and they don't wake up.
And the bird beat you, didn't he?
Yeah, he was trying to figure out a way to do me in, I think, because he threatened my life over and over again, because when he beat me, I was standing with my fist clenched. And I was always a defiant kid.
Yeah.
And he wanted to, he wanted me to hit him, because he said, when I draw my sword, I must use it. Jumurai law.
World War II is coming to an end. The Japanese refuse to surrender. President Truman gives the order to drop the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
What had been Hiroshima was a white mountain of smoke, and when we saw it first, it was already up to 25,000 feet. About 1,000 feet off the ground, it looked like boiling dust.
Exactly 10 seconds after 7:35 this morning, August 14th, from London, Swiss radio has announced that Japan has accepted the Allied note requesting surrender.
The battleship Missouri, 53,000-ton flagship of Admiral Halsey's Third Fleet, becomes the scene of an unforgettable ceremony marking the complete and formal surrender of Japan.
Japan finally surrenders. You return home again. And eventually, you marry Cynthia Applewhite. Was your homecoming as wonderful as you hoped it would be? You mentioned post-traumatic stress syndrome. Were you dealing with that after you got home?
Well, yeah, you don't look any different. I had it in prison camp because it started with every day in prison camp, I'm strangling the bird. Yeah. I'm always strangling the guy all the way home. And after I got married, I was still strangling him in my dreams. Yeah. And one night, for some reason, I had my wife by the throat.
Yeah.
And boy, that scared me. And,
yeah.
And I didn't know what to do about it.
Right. And you wanted to kill the bird, didn't you?
That's right. In my dreams, I wanted to go back to Japan because he ruined my life. And I wanted to go back there and do him in.
You actually were trying to raise the money to return to Japan to literally kill this man that caused you so much misery.
Right. I went into one investment after the other, and I guess the Lord didn't want me to make any money. And then my wife decided that this was too much for her. She wanted to get a divorce.
Yeah.
So she filed, and then some young person and his girlfriend came into our apartment and said, a young fellow named Billy Graham is coming to town. He started to preach to us, and I got mad, walked out. My wife stayed and listened. She went down to the meeting, came home, and tried to get me to go, and I refused, but then she said the magical word. Because of my conversion, I'm not going to get a divorce. Well, that softened me up a bit. But then she talked me into going down there, but Billy started to read from the scriptures.
The Bible describes the heart in various ways. The Bible says that our hearts are sinful, that it's full of evil imaginations. Proverbs 6:18. All of the wicked imaginations that Hitler had. The Bible says that our hearts are desperately wicked.
I thought, I don't need him to tell me I'm a sinner. I know I am. So I got mad, left, and went home. My wife was all over me again. And then I kept thinking, no, she's not going to divorce me because she was converted. And finally, I gave in and went back again. I said, when he says every head bowed and every eye closed, we're out of there. Well, just as he said that, before he said it, I got up, started to leave, just as he gave the invitation. But he said something at the end about people, when they come to the end of their rope, and there's nowhere else to turn. It's like when I'm sinking under the ship, they turn to God. And I thought, yeah, that's what I did. I turned to God. And God saw me through the war. He kept his promise, and I didn't keep mine.
Right.
And I felt like a fool. So I went to the prayer room, got on my knees, and came out a different person.
Amen. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And that happened for you. And it happened in such a dramatic way that you returned to Japan, not to kill the bird, but you wanted to meet him and he wanted to forgive him, right?
Exactly. I wanted to face him, but when I got to Sagamo prison, I spoke to all the war criminals, but he wasn't there, and they thought he committed harakiri, and I accepted that until the amnesty was signed 8 years later, and he came out of the hills a free man, you know.
Wow, so he lived many years. So you actually, probably somewhere around this time, wrote a letter that you wanted to give to him, and this is a copy of that letter. Would you like to read it?
Yeah, a letter from Lou Zamperini to Mr. Shiro Watanabe. As a result of my prisoner of war experience under your unwarranted and unreasonable punishment, my post-war life became a nightmare. It was not so much due to the pain and suffering as it was the tension of stress and humiliation that caused me to hate with a vengeance. Under your discipline, my rights not only as a prisoner but also as a human being were stripped from me. It was a struggle to maintain enough dignity and hope to live until the war's end. The post-war nightmares caused my life to crumble, but thanks to a confrontation with God through the evangelist Billy Graham, I committed my life to Christ. Love replaced the hate I had for you. Christ said, forgive your enemies and pray for them. As you probably know, I returned to Japan in 52, was graciously allowed to adjust all the Japanese war criminals at Sagamo Prison. I asked them about you and was told that you probably had committed harakiri, which I was sad to hear. At that moment, like the others, I also forgave you and now would hope that you would also become a Christian.
I'd like to just, in closing, say a few things about the topic that Louis touched on toward the end of our talk together on forgiveness. I mean, how can you forgive someone who has treated you so cruelly? We didn't really go into detail in the horrific treatment that Louis had to undergo, but it's mind-blowing what he had to endure. And yet, we hear this amazing story of forgiveness. Look, we as people who have been forgiven by God cannot harbor grudges and hold hatred in our hearts toward others, even if we have been wrong. And I'll tell you why, because the Bible says in Ephesians 4 that when we do that, we bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. So we're to get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and harsh words and slander and be kind one to another, forgiving one another as God through Christ has forgiven you. Few takeaway thoughts on this topic. Number one, forgiveness has no limits. As a Christian, there's no wrong that is too great or too small to forgive. Peter came to our Lord in Matthew 18 and said, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? I think Peter probably felt he was really pushing the envelope with that. Probably thought Jesus would say, seven times, and way to go, Peter. Jesus actually says, now I was thinking 70 times seven. So there's no limits to forgiveness. Number two, forgiveness is not selective. In other words, it's not for us to forgive some but not forgive others. Well, I'll forgive her, but I won't ever forgive him. There's no boundaries. Matthew 5 says, love your enemies, pray for those that persecute you. And if you only love those who love you, what good is that? Even corrupt tax collectors do the same thing. If you're only kind to your friends, how much different are you from anyone else? Even pagans do that. So we forgive even our enemies. And thirdly, when you forgive, you experience great joy. Louis was able to forgive the bird. Can you forgive that person who has hurt you? Because if you will, it'll set you free. So we must forgive. Forgiven people are forgiving people. But let me say this in closing. Are you a forgiven person? Louis Zamperini, World War II vet, tough guy to say the least, punches sharks in the face, goes and hears Billy Graham. He's resistant at first, and his heart softens. He gives his life to Jesus Christ. He's instantaneously transformed by the power of God. God can do that for you here tonight. Maybe you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've never asked him to forgive you of your sin. It's not about being a good person. It's about realizing that you are a sinner, as Louis said, separated from God, in need of a Savior. And Jesus Christ, who hung on that cross and died for you and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, will forgive you of every sin you have ever committed right now if you'll turn to him by faith. In a moment, we're going to pray, and I'd like to extend an invitation to anyone here who does not yet know the Lord. And if you would like to ask Christ to come into your life, respond to this invitation now. Let's all bow our heads. Father, thank you for this time tonight and this amazing man that you've touched and worked through. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to this world and dying on the cross for our sin and then rising again from the dead. Thank you for your ability to transform. And we pray now for any person here who does not yet know you. Would you help them, Lord, to see their need for you and come to you tonight and receive forgiveness? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important prayer for those who want to make a change in their relationship with the Lord. And if you'd like to do that today, Pastor Greg will help you in just a moment. And at the very close of today's program, some final words from Pastor Greg and Louis Zamperini, a fitting way to wrap up these two programs. You know, Pastor Greg, I was reading an article about Laura Hillenbrand, who is the author of the book Unbroken, Louis Zamperini's life story that we're making available this month. Not many people know this, but she suffers from something called chronic fatigue syndrome.
Yes.
Because of this, she can't leave her home. Some days, she can't even get out of bed.
Right.
And she said writing Louis' story was really an escape for her. She could put herself in Louis' place and sort of experience the drama right along with him. Mm. And I'll tell you, it sure helps us experience the drama as readers, doesn't it?
Yes, Steve, that's true. And I remember talking with Louis about that, and he gave her something of such significance. He won 2 Purple Hearts for his heroic efforts in World War II, and he gave one of those Purple Hearts to Laura Hillenbrand. Imagine that. Because he saw that she had suffered in life as well. And I'll tell you what, this pain that she's felt in life, she brought to this amazing story of a man who endured such incredible pain. I'm telling you, you've never read a story like this because I've never known of a life quite like this. It's almost unbelievable, but every word of it is true. And so we are offering to you the amazing story of a genuine American hero, of a real follower of Jesus Christ, a man that is now in heaven, a man that I got to know personally. He's Louis Zamperini, and the title of the book about his life is Unbroken.
Yeah, and it's a book you won't be able to put down. In fact, you'll want to loan it out to some friends when you're finished with it. We'll be glad to send you the book Unbroken to thank you for your donation to help support our work each day here on A New Beginning and through our large Harvest evangelistic events like the one coming up this Sunday. So get in touch with your contribution and be sure to ask for the book called Unbroken. You can call us at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. And you can also take care of the details online at harvest.org. Then, just before I pass along the address again, if you'd like to make a change in your relationship with the Lord, Pastor Greg would like to help you do that right now.
Listen, if you would like Jesus Christ to come into your life right now, if you would like your sin forgiven, if you would like a new start in life, I'd like to lead you in a prayer where you would ask for God's forgiveness. So I'm going to ask you to just stop what you're doing right now and bow your head and pray this prayer with me if you want to make a commitment or recommitment to Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I know that I'm a sinner, and I thank you for dying on that cross for my sin and paying the price for it and rising again from the dead. I turn from that sin now, and I make a choice to follow you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for calling me and forgiving me and receiving me and loving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And listen, if you have just prayed that prayer with Pastor Greg and you've meant those words from your heart, well, first of all, welcome to the family of God. And second, we'd like to offer some help as you get started as a Christian. We'd like to send you our New Believers Growth Packet. Just get in touch and ask for it. We'll send it free of charge to those making a first-time commitment to the Lord today. Again, write to us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. 1-800-821-3300. And you'll find us online at harvest.org. When you stop by the website, be sure to sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions. Again, that's at harvest.org. Pastor Greg Laurie says we shouldn't underestimate what prayer can do in people's lives.
There is power when Christians pray together. Jesus said, if any two of you will agree together as touching anything, it will be done by the Father in heaven.
Are you praying for those who don't yet know the Lord?
When you are praying for people to come to faith in Jesus Christ, you're praying according to the will of God.
So let us invite you to pray for others through our prayer campaign with Harvest America, investing just an hour in prayer.
It's 60 days of prayer, and our goal is to have Christians across the United States praying every hour for Harvest America and for our nation.
Pick the hour you can pray and sign up at harvestamerica.com.
So engage in this 60 days of prayer and commit yourself to fill one of those hours where you will be bringing these prayer needs before the throne of God.
Invest an hour in someone's eternity. Sign up at harvestamerica.com. And by the way, you can find a Harvest America host location near you online at harvestamerica.com. If there isn't one near you, well, here's your opportunity to host Harvest America yourself. It's not too late. Next time, we pay tribute to the late Pastor Chuck Smith on the anniversary of his homegoing. A special message about Pastor Chuck's legacy next time. But as we close today, Pastor Greg poses a final question to Louis Zamperini.
Tell me about the saint, Be Hardy.
Well, Be Hardy, as I never cared for the term the greatest generation. That doesn't seem to explain anything. We were the Hardy generation. We were overcomers. We always had problems. We always overcame our problems. Each time you overcome a problem, you become more and more and more hardy. And that's why the greatest generation, or the Hardy generation, won World War II. We were all of the same breed.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Louis, thank you so much for coming here tonight to Harvest. We admire you as a hero, but we're just so impressed by your humility and your love for Jesus Christ, and you're an inspiration to all of us, and we just want to say God bless you and thank you for coming. Louis Zamperini.